It's a beautiful day in Jerusalem today. We're out on the east side of the city, right next to the Hebrew University on Mount Scopus. And I'm standing here looking over the eastern part of Jerusalem with the high-rises of Jerusalem in the distance with my friend and tour guide Shmuel Brown. Shmuel, tell us a little bit, if we were a tour group, what would you tell us about what we're looking at now?
Well, here we are. This is Emek Tzurim. This Emek, this valley, continues into the Kidron, which goes along the east side of the old city. You can see the Rockefeller Museum on the corner. You can see the high rises. You can even see the Calatrava Bridge and the entrance to Jerusalem. And this park is part of the Jerusalem Trail. You're probably familiar with the Israel Trail, which runs from the north, Dan to Eilat. But Jerusalem, for probably, let's say, political reasons, was left out of that trail. And so they had the idea of doing a Jerusalem Trail, which runs around Jerusalem and then joins up to the Israel Trail. And so this is a piece of it. And from here, you can go down into the Kidron, past the tombs of Avshalom and B'nai Chazir, to Ir David, through Gay Ben Chinom, through the German colony, by the university and around.
And this seems to be an olive grove.
Yeah, they planted olive trees here, very reminiscent of the way things would have looked many, many years ago, terracing and olive trees. There's some. There's a Pistachio Atlante, the large tree down at the bottom. And then just over there you can see the temporary building, the tent-like structure that is the sifting project at Emek Tzurim.
So we're going to walk down to there. The story of the project is that of several years ago, you know, the Temple Mount, which is right on the other, right around the corner from where we're standing. A long time ago, Solomon, the story is that Solomon built a temple there, a holy temple, that was destroyed by the Babylonians around, 500 years before the current era, before the time of Jesus. And at that point, the Jews were taken into captivity unto Babylon, though some of you may know the music, by the rivers of Babylon. And after several years in Babylon, I think 70 years or so, the Babylon was conquered by Cyrus, the Persian, and it became Persia. And Cyrus, one of the great heroes of the Jewish people and of the Persian people, let the Jews come back to their home here, to Judea. And they reconsecrated and rebuilt a temple on the same hill. And eventually, one of the kings, King Herod the Great, King Herod the Terrible, did a tremendous building job here of this, and it became better known as the Second Temple. It was a very, very prestigious and fancy building, which was destroyed by the Romans in the year 70. And after that destruction, the Jews were not allowed to come into the city even, except for once a year on Tisha B'Av to mourn the destruction of the temple. It was then controlled by the Byzantines, which were a Christian community, a Christian civilization from around Turkey. And they left the Temple Mount in complete, just like it had been after the Romans destroyed it. It was just, you know, a scene of destruction. Until the Muslim army got here in the year 638 and made a deal with the Byzantine rulers to not have to conquer the city. The city became an open city. And the Muslims took it over and they cleaned it up. They cleaned it up and they built on it their own religious institutions. There is the Dome of the Rock, which sits over a stone, which in Hebrew is called Evan HaYisod, the foundation stone. It is also rumored to be the stone upon which, or the point, or the place upon which Abraham was about to sacrifice Isaac or Ishmael. And then next to it, on this large plaza, they built the mosque, the Al-Aqsa Mosque. And since that time, every Friday certainly, there are religious services there. Several years ago, they decided they needed more room, which they did. I mean, thousands of people would be outside the mosque during the service. And they dug under the mosque into the landfill, with bulldozers and probably backhoes to make the largest, an enormous underground mosque. And they hauled all the earth that they dug out away out of there. And they dumped it here in the Kidron Valley, where we're on our way to right now. And at some point, some people who happened to be Jewish decided that it would be interesting to sift through that soil and to carry out an archaeological dig on the soil and see what archaeological artifacts were to be found. I mean, the soil came from a piece of land which is central to Judaism, Islam, and Christianity, and certainly there must be some artifacts there. The problem, of course, is that in the accepted scientific method of archaeology, one notes very carefully exactly where the object is found in order to create a reference system which gives you an opportunity to pinpoint as closely as possible the time frame in which this object was either made or left. Now, by digging the whole thing up in mass and dumping it in mass, this archaeological possibility was destroyed, which is no wonder, seeing as the Muslim community does not recognize the Jewish claim, the Jewish narrative, to having had two temples built on this exact spot. Some people decided to do the archaeological excavations on these piles of rubble instead of the way it should have been done. And they work here every day, and today, which is a nice, warm, sunny day, even though it's January 21st, really nice, really warm. And they work here. They work here in the summer when it's also sunny, but far, far warmer. And I'm not sure what they found in there, but we're going to go over and we're going to find out. Shmuel, let me ask you, has there been any archaeology in this valley itself? Does this have an archaeological history, the valley?
Not that I know of.
Okay, so it's just plain old valley.
Yeah, it's a valley, and it's been made into a park, and it's part of the Jerusalem Trail, so the idea is that you'll be able to walk from here among nature to the old city and to the sites there.
Maybe we'll do that another day. We started out late today. Now, usually if you come here as to be guided, they'll get you at 6 o'clock in the morning. But not having the compulsion and not having the need to start out at 6, we've gotten here somewhere around 2 in the afternoon, which actually is the warmest part of the day, which creates its own pleasurable experience. Now we can see we've come around the hill. We can see the Dome of the Rock, the Gold Dome of the Rock, a very famous landmark building, historical, built by, do you know who built it?
Ibn Malik.
Ibn Malik. Nobody's really sure what the purpose of the building is. It's actually a large hollow in the middle of the floor, in the middle of the building. And from the balcony, which is where you enter, you look down at the rock. And I don't know if anybody's allowed down there to this incredibly, terribly holy rock. The dome is gold. It was gilded by King Hussein of Jordan several years ago. I understand he had to sell several apartments in London to raise the millions of dollars to buy the gold and have it put up there. And it's quite beautiful. The exterior is mostly ceramic with beautiful Arabic scripting. As you know, the Arabs don't allow depictions of, it seems like, any living thing, animals or human beings. So their art focused a lot on writing, on their scripture, and the beauty of their script, which is a very flowing, curvy linear, our art teacher used to say, kind of script. And it is near that building that this soil that we're going down to see was excavated. Maybe someday we'll even do a little story up there. But for the time being, we're going to stay on the outside.
We visited the sifting project at Emek Tsurim, and I think it's an important piece of work because currently we're unable to excavate on the Temple Mount, and so this earth, which seems to have been removed from the Temple Mount, gives us an opportunity to see what we can find by looking through the earth from a period that goes back at least to the first temple, the Temple of King Solomon. Well, there are, the bull is a very interesting. A piece a piece of clay that has been imprinted with a seal. The seal has letters in Proto-Hebrew. This is an earlier form of Hebrew, not the square script that we use today, but readable. We know that alphabet. And this is just a piece of clay. So in most cases, it would have disintegrated. We would have lost it. But like the many bulli, there's about 70 that Shiloh found in the city of David, with the destruction of the first temple by the Babylonians, there was a raging inferno, and so that fire literally baked, like in a kiln, the pieces of clay, and so we lost any other paper, papyrus documents that might have been connected to it, but the clay itself hardened, and that's why we have the bulla. So this particular bulla is not complete. It's chipped off. Bulla is usually about the size of your thumbnail, elliptical in shape. And there's a couple of lines of text in this Proto-Hebrew, and so we've lost some of the letters, but there's an ending, Lamed Yud Hey Vav. So Eliyahu or Gilayahu or Gedalyahu are all possibilities. And then, like when Jews are called up to the Torah, they are called by their name, son of their father's name. So in this case, on the second line, on the line below it, is the name Aleph Mem Resh, which is quite clear, Immer. And Immer, there was a priestly family, that's recounted in Jeremiah. So this could be a relative. And that's significant to find something like that from the Temple Mount.
And what dating does that provide, between the script and the name?
Well, so if it's a person in the time of Jeremiah, so we're talking about from that period to the Babylonian destruction in 586.
So it's before 586, in some nebulous number of years before that. And then, if that's the oldest object, then one would assume that would have been on the bottom of the pile.
Well, that's true, but unfortunately, the earth had been dug up. It had been loaded into a truck. It had been dumped from the truck into the Kidron Valley with other truckloads, hundreds. And then that earth was picked up again, put on trucks, and dumped in Emek Tsurim, where it's being sifted. So at this point, you can't say anything about layers at all. That information has been lost. And that's why Gabi Barkai is so upset about what went on, because of course layering the strata is what's very, very important in archaeology.
So what would come next in the historical line from the pre-Babylonian exile?
Sculpture, which could be a pestle, some kind of idol that would go back farther. One of the things that I think is significant in this way is they found an arrowhead, which they know because they found other arrowheads matching other stories, which is a Babylonian arrowhead. So, I mean, it's always interesting to find something like that, because if you want to look for clues about, you know, the destruction of the temple by the Babylonians, then to find an arrowhead like that, this is a very distinct arrowhead. And in this case, it's quite rare because of its particular shape, it's actually more three-dimensional, which you can imagine made a wound that was worse. Because they were quite valuable, they actually were picked up after the battle. So to find one, it's actually quite a rare find.
In other words, this was recycled from the technology of the time, so that they didn't have to make another one, or they could save on making as many as they might actually need. Do you know of anywhere in particular on the internet where these things are available for viewing?
I think that if you Google it, you can find that. I mean, I was able to find the Immer Bulla, And of course, there's references to many other bulai that were found. And there's also a lot of coins that were found in the debris from the Temple Mount, some 3,500 coins from what I read. And there are examples of those coins also on the internet, so it's quite easy to find some examples of that.
What times are the coins from?
Well, two coins in particular are interesting. They found a coin. Okay, so they found a half shekel coin minted in the first year of the Great Revolt against the Romans. So
when you say a half shekel coin, does it say half shekel? Like our coins have a number indicating their value? Or is it the size? Or, I mean, how do you know it's a half shekel coin?
Yes, it does say half shekel on it. Yes, and interestingly, the alphabet that's used is the same Proto-Hebrew. Now, that's interesting because it doesn't correspond time-wise. Proto-Hebrew was used in the time of King David. Now we're looking at a coin that was minted on the Temple Mount for use by pilgrims who needed to pay the half shekel tax that is talked about in the Bible, and they used to use Tyrian from Tyre, a silver coin of that weight for that tax. But in the revolt, they actually minted their own coins, and they used the same Proto-Hebrew script, saying that A, it's a half shekel, and B, it's from the first year of the revolt. So it's quite unique to find a coin like that on the Temple Mount, though of course they found coins like that in various other places. One of the most recent was they found a coin, a half shekel coin, in the drain that runs under the road that runs from the Silwan Pool down at the bottom of the City of David. Presumably pilgrims followed that road up to the Temple Mount during the pilgrimage festivals to do their sacrifices, and some poor pilgrim played with the coin, had a hole in his pocket, and it fell out and down into the drain, and he wasn't able to get it, and 2,000 years later we found it.
So when you talk about the first revolt, you're talking about, what is the first revolt?
The first revolt is what led to the destruction of the temple. The Jews, 66 CE, revolted against the Romans. The Romans came and crushed the revolt, captured, destroyed Jerusalem and the temple, and then continued the mopping up operations through Herodian Ein Gedi, Masada 73, and that was the end.
I wanted to comment on the half shekel that pilgrims from around the world, around the Jewish diaspora, from as far as Rome and to the west and Babylon to the east would come and would need to exchange their local money, the money they came with, for the half shekel in order to qualify to go up on the Temple Mount. And that was what the money changers were doing there, who were made famous by the story of Jesus when he comes and he overturns their benches. In point of fact, what they were doing was providing a service. They were probably making a little bit of profit, but they were also providing a service to the pilgrims. You know, it wasn't like today. If you go, you know, to Rome or you go to any of the holy places, including Mecca probably, and you put a $5 bill in, they'll certainly appreciate the $5. But in those days, they wouldn't, and they required that you have the local currency, which was the shekel. In order to get it, you needed to buy it from somebody, and that was the position of the money changer. So we have the Burla coin from the First Temple period. We have the arrowhead from the end of the First Temple period, when the Babylonians came and destroyed the First Temple. And we have the coin from the Second Temple. And I think there was another arrowhead they had there. Do you remember what that was? Do you remember any of the other objects?
Well, there's another coin that they announced at the same time as this half shekel. And this is a coin that was minted by the Syrian Greek ruler Antiochus Epiphanes IV, which is the Antiochus of the Hanukkah story. So this is a little earlier than the Second Revolt, 175 to 163 BCE. But the Hanukkah story, the Jews revolting against the Syrian Greeks and rededicating the temple. But this is a coin with a portrait of Antiochus IV. Find it in near perfect condition among the rubble. Again, to be an important find, a message from the past.
Some things that really fascinated me were, and that we only saw them in photographs, was the objects from the Islamic period. There was some floor tiles, and there were some ceramic tiles from the walls. Do you remember much about them?
Well, some of those tiles even went back to the Herodian period. So optosectile are the kinds of tile work. Each piece is actually stone, and they were laid like tiles or flooring would be done today in geometric patterns, and you can see examples of that in the Herodian quarter under the yeshiva in the Jewish quarter of the Old City, and for instance at Masada. But you're right, that of course this rubble has accumulated over many, many years, and so there are also artifacts from much later, from the Muslim period. So there are glass tiles that were on the inside walls of the Dome of the Rock, and those glass tiles were made with a layer of gold, a thin layer of gold in between them, and many of those tiles have fallen off over the years and somehow landed up in the rubble. There's also examples of ceramic work. The ceramics that are on the Dome of the Rock today were commissioned through the help of the British when they brought Armenian potters from Turkey, the Hohansian and Kakashian families, and you can still see their work today in the Old City. So the tiles have been replaced, but some examples of the earlier tile work were also found among the rubble.
Do you have any idea, does the Muslim community, the Wafd, who are responsible for this site, do they engage in any archaeology, what we would call archaeology, exploration of the past through physical artifacts? Do you know?
Well, there was a Islamic museum that was open to the public in its time that is, as far as I know, still closed. So there are artifacts from the Muslim period, 638, from the time of the Dome of the Rock and Al-Aqsa. I'm not aware of earlier materials that are on display or in storage anywhere. The Waqf is not particularly interested in any excavations on the Temple Mount at all, even though, you know, I've heard stories that what about if a Jordanian or a Palestinian archaeologist was going to do some excavation, but I haven't heard of anything.
Okay, Shmuel, thank you very much. Hopefully we'll take a trip down to Herodian and continue our descriptions and our interest in what happened here a few years ago.